Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's homily is from the passage of Revelation 7 that was just read. Dear friends in Christ, a few weeks ago in Sela Auditorium just down the way, some of us had the pleasure and privilege of hearing a Lutheran choir and musicians from the Ukraine. What struck me in particular was the evident joy of these singers, the good humour of the young woman who introduced each item, and of the musicians. There was all the freshness of people who have just discovered the gospel. One of their leaders gave a brief history of the Ukrainian-speaking Lutheran Church in the Ukraine. Its origins went back to the Reformation, but it was completely wiped out by the Roman Catholic Counter-Reformation. Then the church revived this century and grew to become 20,000 members until Stalin's purges, when all the pastors were executed, the deacons were placed in slave labour camps, and the laity were all transported to Siberia. Many of the young pastors in the group that visited us and the laity in the choir that visited our campus consisted of the descendants of those Ukrainians who had been in Siberia. My wife commented, "These are they who have come out of the Great Tribulation." The same could be said of many Christians throughout the former Soviet Union, whether from the Ukraine or Russia or Latvia, or from other parts of the world like Ethiopia or the Sudan or elsewhere. These are the ones coming out of the Great Tribulation. For the sake of the gospel, they endured enormous hardships and often great loneliness. Despised and scorned, they sojourned here. But this great vision in Revelation 7 is not only a wonderful comfort for those who have suffered in more dramatic ways. The Holy Spirit intends here to encourage all Christians, both those who have been through great persecution and those who, like all of us, have suffered the constant tribulation of life which results from our fall into sin and our life, our lot as Christians in a fallen world. The church throughout all the world prays unceasingly, "Deliver us from evil," which Luther explains, "We pray in this petition that God would deliver us from every evil of body and soul, property and honour, and finally, when our last hour comes, grant us a blessed end and graciously take us from this vale of tears to himself in heaven." In our text this morning, we see those for whom this petition of the Lord's Prayer has been answered. John sees the great vision of the mighty angel sealing them all on their foreheads. By this sealing, the living God takes us under his protection. As he lives forever, so will we. No one will ever pluck us out of his hand. The Lord knows those who are his. He sealed us as his own with the Holy Spirit through the means of grace, the word, and the sacraments. John hears the number of the sealed, 144,000, a number signifying perfection and completion, 12 times 12 times 10 times 10 times 10. Not one is missing. The 12 tribes of Israel, representing the true church of God throughout history, are all fully represented. John heard the number. And then he saw them. In verse 9 we read, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands." Behold a host arrayed in white, like thousand snow-clad mountains bright, with palms they stand. Who is this band before the throne of light? They come from every nation, our text tells us, from every nation and tribes and peoples and languages. Here at this seminary, we catch just a small glimpse of what will be fully revealed then to our sight. Here we have come together from all corners of the United States, and from Eritrea and Mexico and Russia and Haiti and China and Korea and Germany and you name it. A foretaste of heaven. I'd like to share with you some reflections on our chapter, Revelation 7, from Pastor Wilhelm Luer, one of the founding fathers of this seminary. "Mission is nothing but the one church of God in motion." This is Wilhelm Luer, his three books about the church. "Mission is nothing but the one church of God in motion, the actualization of the one universal Catholic church. Wherever mission enters in, the barriers which separate nation from nation fall down. Wherever it comes, it brings together what previously was far off and widely separated. Wherever it takes root, it produces that wonderful unity which makes the people of every tongue able to understand one another in all things. Mission is the life of the Catholic Church. Where it stops, blood and breath stop. Where it dies, the love which unites heaven and earth also dies. The Catholic Church and mission, these two no one can separate without killing both, and that is impossible." And then he goes on. "There in heaven," according to Revelation 7, "there in heaven, no national peculiarities will disturb the heart. There will no longer be Jew or Greek, German or Slav or Semite or Japhethite or Hamite. There all animosities between nations and individuals will be silent. There all will be one in Christ Jesus. Here our understanding lags behind the great concept itself, and praise God also behind the truth, for this thought of one church, a universal church, is truth." And then finally, "There are no true statistics anyway for the church on earth, but the thought of the universal church pictured in Revelation 7 strengthens the heart even in a wasteland. Even where there is only one member of the church, the universal church is there. The Lord forgets to include no one, for he knows his own. Not now, but at the end," Revelation 7, "will the great multitude be visible. There are not many at all times, and there are not always many or even a few in every place. But at all times and in all places, all the children of God belong to the great kingdom of the Lord. The narrow way, the little flock of all lands and generations, forms that innumerable multitude of the revelation to John, the truly Catholic Church of heaven and of eternity." So far, Wilhelm Luer. "Redeemed from every nation by the blood of the Lamb, God's people join in the worship of the angels, worshiping God not just for an hour or so like yesterday morning or yesterday afternoon at the Choral Vespers, but day and night in his temple. That is their praise-filled service to God and the Lamb. Meanwhile, God will be continually be serving them as we hear towards the end of our text, beginning at verse 15. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to fountains of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. As we have just been singing, so oft in troubled days gone by, in anguish they would weep and sigh. At home above, the God of love, for aye their tears shall dry. They now enjoy the Sabbath rest, the paschal banquet of the blessed, the Lamb their Lord at festal board, himself is host and guest. May God in his grace bring all of us to that great paschal banquet through faith in the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen.